Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
What's a secret or confession you have sworn to never reveal, but you'll gladly share anonymously on the internet? Story 1. Not too long ago, in a Las Vegas hotel room far, far away, I had my chest pressed against the window, staring out at the neon chaos of the strip, while my boyfriend was enthusiastically using the brand new toy I'd bought earlier that day. It was one of those delightfully unhinged drunken nights where everything feels like a great idea. In a stroke of what I believed was pure genius, and definitely alcohol-fueled, I turned to him and said, "You need to feel this." After a little pleading, and probably because he was just the right amount of drunk himself, he agreed. Cut to him with the toy in the back door. And then it happened. It slipped. Gone. Just gone. "Uh-oh," I muttered. Not the phrase you want to hear mid-adventure. "Don't worry," I said confidently. "I got this." Reader, I did not got this. 4 hours of trying. Every method. Every position. No dice. Eventually, he's over it, and ready for the ER. I'm mortified, begging, "Please no, it'll be so embarrassing." He somehow is only thinking of his dignity. Classic. We hit the nearest ER, packed wall to wall with folks just trying to escape the cold Vegas night. No luck. Try the one across the street. There's a TSA-style checkpoint, a shouting match with security, and the check-in window is behind bulletproof glass. Hard pass. We drive to the suburbs. Finally, we find a hospital that's calm. We checked in. The doctor walks in, snaps on a glove, goes exploring, and cheerfully informs us, "Yup, it's gone, needs surgery." And guess where that surgery has to happen? Yep, back at ER number 1. So he gets loaded into an ambulance, and as they're wheeling him out, the paramedics are visibly trying not to ask something. Finally, one of them cracks, "So how long did it keep going after it? Disappeared. And we just stare at each other. We hadn't even thought about that. Thankfully, the battery gave out just a few minutes post-ascension. After a quick surgery and a casual $76,000 out-of-network bill, the prodigal toy was returned. And that, dear strangers, is the story of my most embarrassing and accidentally most expensive sexcapade, one I will never, ever tell anyone I actually know. Before we continue, do us a quick favor. Smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. Not looking for sympathy or apologize for anything here. What I am doing is wrong, but I'm well beyond the point where moral compromise could still be measured. As of the time of writing, I've stolen 14 pairs of inners, and I can already tell I'm addicted to this. Well, a little about me before we get to the good stuff. So, I've always been a loser. It's the same old song and dance you get with every loser out there. I'm ugly, I've got no real skills. I'm depressed all the time. All my attempts to improve myself are met with failure. I have friends, but never a girlfriend or a lover. Thought about buying a cash-only companion once, but it's illegal and I wouldn't know where to look anyway. I am not street smart. So my sad virgin A was down at the laundromat a few weeks ago, right? And this girl was there. Oh, she was beautiful. She wasn't out of my league. She was out of my entire solar system. That's when it happened. As she was loading her laundry into a drum, a single pair of inner dropped from her basket to the floor. She didn't notice. Darling gal was too focused on her daily grind, aren't we all? Not me. I have no grind. My world's empty. That's what affords me this keen observation thing I've got going on. I'm never distracted, you feel me? So I waited for her to leave and shuffled on over. I checked for onlookers, then slipped that little number into my pocket and got the hell out of there. Even though no one was around, my heart was banging like a huge drum in my chest. It was the first time I ever stole anything. It was exhilarating. I got back to my apartment, took them from my pocket, and unfolded them. They're a bright yellow number, solid color. I don't know enough about fabrics to say what it is, but it feels very smooth and silky. They're not shiny though, so I don't think they're silk. Holding them up, I felt a strong sense of satisfaction. A girl's clothing in my hands, for the very first time in my life. And yeah, I did all the gross crap you came in here expecting. I'm not here to gross you out. It was the first time I'd ever had the scent of a woman, though. The first time those sensations ever washed over me. I was out of control for those few hours. I can't make excuses for that. That strong urge to bang, and nothing to put your dong in. If hell's real, I'm certain that's a part of it. My second pair was a little more risky. After taking the first pair, I told myself I wouldn't do it again, but I was staying at a friend's house, and his roommate, a cute brunette thing, was taking a nap in her room. My bud ducked out for about 15 minutes to pick up some beers, and I used that time for my next terrible misdeed. I crept into her room while she was sleeping and took a pair right from her bedroom floor. I ran to the bathroom, did my sad little routine, had a mind-blowing O, and rushed back to the living room to play everything off chill AF when my bud came back. And here I am, sitting at 14 pairs, lots of different designs and materials, all from several beautiful girls. The more risky it is to get them, the more exciting the game becomes. I'm hooked. I don't feel bad. I'll never meet a girl. I get that. Some people will, and some won't. I won't. It's just how things are. I'm not mad. I'm not bitter or hateful toward women. I just needed a way, and I finally found it. Before you click out of here shaking your head and being embarrassed on my behalf, let me share a little story. By far my riskiest take so far, but I still think about this one all the time. If cloth snatching were an Olympic event, this would be Hall of Fame crap. I was talking to this cute little Asian thing at the laundromat. Yeah, back where it all began and usually a prime local for my escapades. She was talking to me about video games because I was wearing a Zelda t-shirt. She kept mentioning her boyfriend, doing that crap girls do when they want to make sure there's a 10-foot wall between you and them. It kind of got on my nerves because I wasn't flirting with her at all, so I decided I'd get a little playful revenge on her right then and there. As we were talking, she was taking her laundry from the dryer, folding it, and placing it in this weird laundry basket that had like three compartments. Never seen anything like that before. As I was talking to her, I shuffled around, keeping her eyes on mine as I moved. My movements were relaxed and natural. I felt like a real pro even though my heart was going 100 miles a minute. I worked myself into a position where I was near both her and the clothes. When I was talking, she'd have to look at me, which meant looking away from the laundry. And so as I distracted her with my uneducated opinions about video games, I don't game that much, I'm more into reading, I waited until a moment where one, I had her gaze fully on me, two, I could see a pair I wanted clearly in the basket, and three, my balls were huge enough to make the move. With her looking right at me, I ran my finger into the hole on the side of the basket, hooked a pair and discreetly slipped them from the basket and onto the floor. It only took about half a second for this crafty move. With my foot, I brushed it under the cart she was folding laundry on. And then on to phase two. I drew out my phone and proceeded to text someone I knew would text back almost right away, a dumb buddy of mine with a somehow worse social life than mine, as expected. Mere moments later, my phone went off. I went to answer it, and oops, silly me, I dropped it. The battery compartment popped off and the battery came out too. I got between the girl and my phone, using my own frame to obscure her view. As I collected the pieces of my phone while spewing out random curse words, I also collected that cute pink number I flung down just moments ago, slipping it into my sock. My jeans would cover up the lump. I was trying to stay calm, but I honestly thought my heart might explode. My teeth even started to chatter. I had to clench my jaw tight as I stood back up. I had no clue if she'd caught me or not. This was insane. I turned back to her, assembling my phone and pretending to be worried it might not come back on. She was clearly fooled. She had no frigging idea what I'd just done. I turned the phone on. We chit-chatted a bit more about this and that. Boring crap. And she went on her merry little way. I'll see you around, I threw out. Yeah, for sure, she shouted back with a smile and a laugh. And of course, I immediately rushed home and had an earth-shattering O, easily one of my most cherished memories, just because of the thrill it gave me. So there it is. That's the direction things have taken for me. I'm doing all right. Story 3. I'm adopted. My biological mom was really young, around 14 or 15, when she had me. She was the oldest sibling, and her parents forced her to put me up for adoption and keep the entire thing a secret. It was a closed adoption, so there was no way to know anything about her or her family. Fast forward about 20 years, I met this girl. We really hit it off, started dating, things got serious. We ended up hooking up, and whoops, rubber broke. Baby number one enters the world. All right, no big drama. We stayed exclusive, decided not to rush into marriage, but kept building a life together. Then,
coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Baby number two came along. At that point, we finally decided to tie the knot. As part of that process, we submitted a family DNA test just to have on record. And that's when the bomb dropped. Turns out she's my aunt. Yeah. I'd unknowingly had two kids with my biological mother's younger sister. Story 4. I had a revenge threescore with my ex-fiancé and my ex-girlfriend. This is a long one, but maybe worth it. I found out my fiancé was cheating on me on the way back from my bachelor party. I was in Colorado having an honest bachelor weekend with just my brothers and best friends snowmobiling through the Rockies. Right before I was supposed to fly back home, I got a call from my fiancé, who was supposed to pick me up from the airport. She was extremely drunk, slurring her words, and I could barely understand her. What I could make out, though, was that she had driven drunk after brunch and crashed her car into a parked one, totaling both vehicles. Thankfully, she was okay, but things took a turn when the police arrived on the scene. It was a brief conversation before she was arrested for a DWI, three times over the legal limit. I flew back home and spent the whole night trying to figure out how to bail her out, all while getting collect calls from her in jail. The next morning, I posted bail in person at the courthouse and was told it would take about 4 to 6 hours to process her out. So I went home, figuring I had time to kill. While waiting, she called me again, asking me to cover for her at work. It was Monday, and she still had to work. She gave me the password to her iPad so I could text her boss. I'd never snooped before, but something felt off, and I couldn't shake the feeling. I decided to check her messages while I was at it. And that's when I found everything. There were text chains with multiple men. Apparently, while I was away at my bachelor party, she had set up and participated in a threescore with two guys, with photos included in some of the messages, but it didn't stop there. I uncovered messages with at least 7 different men, going back for months. It was more proof than anyone would ever need, and more than I ever wanted to see. I called her parents, explained everything, and called off the wedding. They apologized, but it didn't change anything. I've never loved someone and then hated them so quickly. It was like a switch flipped. I was furious, but also deeply hurt. It's hard to explain. We were living together at the time, so the next few days were incredibly awkward. I moved into the spare bedroom and barely spoke to her. I made it clear that we were done. The betrayal was too much for me to ever forgive, and I told her we needed to figure out our living situation and separate. I told her to consider me a roommate, nothing more. For a few days, we awkwardly went through the motions of our daily routine, both of us still fuming. There was a part of me that just wanted to hurt her, to make her feel what I was feeling. I made the terrible mistake of reaching out to my ex-girlfriend. She's a total train wreck, gorgeous on the outside, but a toxic mess on the inside. That's actually why I ended things with her in the first place. It was a mistake. We started talking again, and I set up a night to meet for a date. The whole time, I was still living with my ex-fiancé. The night came, and as I was heading out the door to meet my date, my ex-fiancé stopped me with a few questions. I brushed her off, told her it was none of her business, and left. The date went well. I ended up banging my ex-girlfriend in the parking lot of a steakhouse, in my truck. It was extremely passionate, one of the best of my life. It was part anger toward my ex-fiance, and part fear of getting arrested for indecent exposure and having to explain myself. I went home that night, and my ex-fiance was waiting for me at the door, questioning me. She cornered me in the bathroom, and all the anger I had been holding back finally exploded. I told her straight to her face that I banged my ex-girlfriend and didn't care what she thought about it. But instead of getting angry, she had this weird smirk on her face, all of a sudden wanting all of the details, totally had the opposite effect. It was really doing a thing on her. She wanted me to give her details, and in the process of giving her details, she started giving me blowy. I gave in and we banged. I woke up in the morning to find her catching me texting my ex-girlfriend. She confronted me, still furious, though now even more so since my betrayal seemed to have the opposite effect. I told her I was planning to have my ex over for the weekend, and that she could either find somewhere else to stay or deal with it. I think she took that the wrong way. It was a little weird at first, but then almost encouraging, so I went along with my plan. I had my ex come over to the apartment that night. She was already aware of everything, and just like me, a little confused by my ex-fiancé's behavior. We pulled up to the house, walked in, and my ex-fiancé was sitting there with a bottle of wine open and snacks, basically hosting us. We sat down, started drinking, and somehow ended up all bare in the kitchen. I ended up having a threescore with the both of them, mainly assisted by my ex-fiancé, who as the experienced one of the group. She took it upon herself to make sure we had a good time. I woke up in the morning on the couch with my ex-girlfriend, both bare. I remember seeing my fiancé in the corner kind of looking at us at some point. Well, apparently, this was the moment that snapped for her. I guess because I ended up sleeping with my ex-girlfriend, and not with her. She finally understood things were done between us, and I didn't feel anything for her anymore. I wanted her to feel the hurt that she made me feel, and I think I accomplished that goal. We went to the office that morning, signed her out of the lease, and moved her out the next day. I got my revenge. But in the end, I regretted. And it didn't make me feel better in any way, if anything just made things even more messed up, because I ended up dating the ex-girlfriend out of guilt for a few more months after that. Call it karma, I'm messed up too. Story 5. I kind of destroyed a guy's life. Here's the backstory. I've never posted anything before, but I really need to get this off my chest. I started this awesome new job a few months ago, working with drinks and silverware. It's been a good experience so far. I had a great summer boyfriend, but he ended things due to some personal stuff. So now I'm single, and honestly, I'm loving it. Then, one of the cooks at my new job started flirting with me a lot. I flirted back, nothing too serious, just fun, casual stuff. But God, was I wrong. So, here's what happened. We do it every time I get off work, he takes a break, and we do it in my car. No problem. Except he lives with his girlfriend. Not that I really care, but I guess I'm a bad person. So we keep this going. Meanwhile, another guy from the same job starts hitting on me, and he's honestly a great guy, nothing like the guy I'm banging with who has his issues. So I keep leading the other guy on, still am, while also being the other woman to the first guy. Then last week, my bang buddy pushes me a little too hard, gets kind of rough. He eventually listens to me. I forgive him and we go back to our usual routine. But that night, he hurts me so badly that when I get home, I break the one rule the other woman should never break. I contact him. I tell him everything, how he hurt me in the car, how I think I might have a concussion, and how I can't wait for the next time. And it's his girlfriend who ends up hearing all of it. She kicks him out, and now he has nothing, no money, no place to stay, no car. Today, after being off work for a week, I tried to avoid him, but he found me. He didn't say much about what happened, just that he's really down, that he loved her a lot. I know we're both at fault, but I can't shake the feeling that it's my fault. She found out so quickly. I mean, they were about to get married. We're still hooking up, and I'll probably see him at work tomorrow to try and talk things through. I'm also still leading that other guy on. I feel guilty, but at the same time, I'm not going to stop. It's not like he has a girlfriend to worry about anymore. I honestly don't know how to feel about everything I've done. TLDR, DR, the world is full of terrible people, and I'm one of them. Story 6. I had an affair with a married woman that has ruined my life, and I don't know what to do anymore. I'm writing this partly to get everything off my chest, and partly because I'm genuinely lost and don't know what to do. I apologize for the length of the story, but it's complicated, and I feel like I need to explain the whole context. A while ago, I was in a relationship with someone who was emotionally abusive. Looking back, I realized she may have been struggling with manic behavior. There were times when she was incredibly sweet, but when things weren't good, she would yell, scream, and treat me poorly. There were many reasons I tried to justify her actions, but I'd rather not get into too many details to respect privacy. However, I know that anyone familiar with this situation will probably recognize me from the story, and honestly, I don't care anymore. I had just moved to a new city for a job, knowing absolutely no one, when I met someone I'll call Taylor. She was kind, sweet, and eventually I started opening up about the challenges in my relationship. Taylor, in turn, shared details about her own marriage, how she was unhappy, unfulfilled, and wanted out. She said that she no longer loved her husband. At the time, it didn't occur to me that she wasn't speaking about the specifics of why she felt this way or about her husband's character. I just accepted that she was unhappy and didn't think much more of it. One night, after a particularly heated argument with my girlfriend, I was in a really dark place. Taylor, sensing something was wrong, stopped by to check on me. One thing led to another, and before I knew it, we had started an affair. She was kind, sweet, and caring. Everything I had been missing in my relationship. I began to look forward to and cherish the moments we spent together, and eventually I started to fall for her. More importantly, she also developed feelings for me. She told me that she loved me and was planning to leave her husband. Then, I met her husband. To my surprise, he wasn't the person Taylor had described. He was genuinely kind and a good person. I found myself wanting to be friends with him, but I couldn't bear to look him in the eye. The guilt grew inside me, and I felt like it was eating me alive. I couldn't sleep and would wake up in the middle of the night, pacing for hours until my feet were sore and bleeding. I lost around 20 pounds in a month, and I'm not a heavy person. My anxiety worsened, and I became a mess, spiraling further into self-hatred. Eventually, this emotional turmoil started affecting all of my relationships. First, the affair ended when I started pulling away, and eventually, after about a year, my relationship with my abusive ex fell apart, which was probably for the best. Taylor begged me to keep the affair a secret, and I agreed, but the guilt was overwhelming. I began self-medicating to cope with my anxiety and guilt, and I isolated myself more and more. This isolation drove me deeper into self-loathing, and I eventually reached rock bottom, attempting offing myself. A police officer found me on the side of the road, and I was briefly hospitalized. Despite the attention, it seemed as if no one really noticed what had happened. I promised myself I would try to be better and make the most of the second chance I had been given. For a while, things seemed to return to normal. Well, as normal as they could, considering everything, I still saw Taylor because we shared mutual friends, but the guilt never went away. Even though the love had faded, I would be lying if I said there weren't still emotions for her, and for me, that was the hardest part to navigate. A few months ago, a large group of us went on a day trip. It involved a lot of drinking, and I was heavily intoxicated, as were Taylor and everyone else. At the time, I had just started talking to someone new. Let's call her Ashley. At some point, which I don't fully remember, Taylor apparently approached me and kissed me in public. Miraculously, it didn't cause any significant fallout, likely because everyone else was too drunk to recall it. However, Ashley noticed, and after some time, she asked me if there had ever been anything between Taylor and me. I admitted part of the truth, although not all of it. There was still a part of me that wanted to protect Taylor's marriage. Not long ago, there was another party with alcohol involved. This time, I was careful about how much I drank, but neither Taylor nor Ashley were. At one point, when I left Ashley to grab a drink, Taylor made another advance, attempting to wrap her arms around me, and possibly more if I had allowed it. I rejected her. But things escalated. Without going into too many specific details, it's safe to say that Taylor was intentionally trying to make me as jealous as possible, even openly admitting it. This confirmed something I had suspected for a long time. She would never stop and she would always try to keep me on the side. I realized that her husband deserved to know the truth. The very next day, I told Taylor that I was going to come clean. As emotionally abusive as my ex had been, I felt she deserved to know the truth, just like Taylor's husband. I understood the consequences. There was no delusion in my mind that Taylor would probably hate me for the rest of my life, and that she'd likely never speak to me again. I told her that she could choose when and how to tell her husband, but that it needed to happen soon. I felt she deserved the right to do it on her terms. I asked her to let me know when it was done because I knew once my ex found out, she'd spread it everywhere. She'd use it as ammunition, portraying herself as the victim in our breakup, and Taylor's husband would soon find out too. I should have known better than to expect a clean resolution. It's a pattern as old as time, right? Taylor did eventually tell her husband, but not the truth. Instead, she told him that she had been in a dark place and that I took advantage of her emotional vulnerability. She claimed that the only reason she was confessing was because I professed my love to her and tried to force her hand, thinking she'd leave him for me. She said that she loved him and would never leave him, which at least I believe to be true. She does love him despite her many flaws. After coming clean to him, she immediately reached out to both Ashley and my ex to make sure her version of events was the first one they heard, not knowing I had already confessed to Ashley. In fact, Ashley was an eyewitness to the situation and could have easily confirmed my side, even without my confession. Taylor then called as many people as she could, telling them the same story. Within 24 hours, I lost nearly every friend I had. Despite my attempts to reach out, no one, except Ashley, would answer my calls or texts. My entire support network vanished, all because I decided to grow a conscience. It's been almost a week since everything unfolded. I've barely gotten 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, and that's being generous. I've been throwing up daily, struggling to keep food down, and have lost about 15 pounds. The suicidal thoughts have returned, and I'm genuinely scared for my mental well-being. Ashley has been incredibly supportive through all this, having been in an emotionally abusive relationship herself and understanding how that can push someone to the edge. But even with all of her support, I feel like I don't deserve her. So, that's the story, at least from my perspective. I know there are two sides to every story, and now I'm left wondering, should I tell her husband the truth, knowing that she's still lying to him? If you were him, would you want to hear it? More importantly, would you even believe it? Or should I just step back, accept my role as the villain in this mess, and allow her to carry the weight of the affair to try and save her marriage? I'm genuinely trying to be a better person and do the right thing, but at this point I'm not sure what the right thing even is anymore. If you've made it this far and actually read this, thank you. Even if you don't have an answer, the fact that you took the time to read it means a lot. Typing all of this out has lifted a huge weight off my chest. Story 7. When I was 13, a buddy from church invited me to go bowling and grab some pizza at this spot called Golden Spike Pizzeria. The pizza was amazing, and we were having a great time. But toward the end of our game, I suddenly had to poop badly. I rushed to the bathroom, did my business, and then realized I had absolutely destroyed that toilet. I tried to fix the situation by flushing and flushing and flushing. In my panic, I ended up snapping the handle clean off. Freaking out, I ran out of the bathroom and told my friend I wasn't feeling well and that we had to leave immediately. As we were heading out, we passed the bathroom, and I swear there was a full-on river of toilet water and poop chunks flowing out from under the door and creeping toward the bowling lanes. Years later, I drove past the place. Not only had Golden Spike shut down, the entire building was gone, demolished. Story 8. I used to work for an online chat service that was, in reality, a giant scam. Men thought they were talking to the same woman for months, sometimes even years, and were paying around £1 per message. But behind the scenes, it was just a rotating team of random girls replying as quickly as possible. We had only a few seconds to skim the previous messages and come up with a reply that felt convincing. A lot of the chats were just sensual in nature, but many of the men were genuinely lonely. Some were deeply in love, convinced they'd eventually meet the woman on the other side of the screen. That was never going to happen. I eventually quit after chatting with one older man, probably in his 70s. He told me he'd spent nearly all of his savings talking to this woman, and he was slowly coming to terms with the fact that he'd never actually meet her. That moment broke my heart. I couldn't keep doing it after that. Story 9. I've been hooking up with my friend, even though he has a girlfriend, and I don't plan on stopping. This started when we met through mutual friends. He hung out with our group in person and in group chats. The first time we met in person was about a month and a half ago when we all went to the fair. I thought he was cute, and I'm not the type to hesitate when I find someone attractive, so I made a move. He was more introverted and stuck to the back, but I spent time with him talking casually, and we even went on a two-seater ride together. I pretended to be scared so I could get closer to him. After the fair, we shared some weed, got high, and exchanged social media. That night, I checked out his Instagram and saw posts with a girl. I realized it was his girlfriend, which disappointed me since he hadn't mentioned her at all during the fair, and he didn't seem bothered when I was close to him. We started texting every day after that, and he would joke, flirt, ask for selfies, and invite me to hang out. He never mentioned his girlfriend, and I started developing feelings for him. Eventually, I decided to bring it up. One night, I asked him to talk privately. I made sure he was sober, so we could have a clear conversation. We went to a bedroom in the house and sat next to each other on the bed. I told him I enjoyed our friendship and texting, but something was bothering me. I mentioned that I knew he had a girlfriend, but we'd been joking around and flirting a lot, and I was confused about where things stood. He took a moment, then admitted that he had been developing feelings for me, but he couldn't break up with his girlfriend right now because of her situation, and he didn't want to hurt her more. I told him that wasn't fair to either of us, especially his girlfriend, and he shouldn't be playing around with both of us. He confessed that he had been having more romantic and intimate thoughts about me than he had with her, and he preferred talking to me over her. I knew what I was about to do was wrong, but I kissed him. He didn't hesitate to kiss back, and my primal instinct kicked in, and I practically begged for it. I gave him a blowy, and he kept saying things like, "You don't know how long I've waited for this," and he wanted me more than anything. We tried to stay quiet, because even though the door was locked, our friends were outside in the pool. After we finished our thing, we shared one last kiss and got dressed to go back to our friends. Since that night, we've been secretly hooking up, texting all day, and talking every night. He's been making excuses to spend less time with his girlfriend and call her less. One night when we were hanging out, she called him crying, and he just rolled his eyes and whispered to me that he would try to get off the phone. I was shocked. It felt like he genuinely couldn't stand her in that moment. I just sat there quietly, listening to her cry about some family issues while he tried to calm her down. He kept reassuring her that he loved her, but his tone was so flat and insincere that it was unsettling. After they hung up, he just went back to cuddling me and stroking my hair. In that moment, I felt really bad for her. She called the person she trusted most with her problems, and he barely seemed to care, just wanting to get back to me. I haven't stopped, and honestly, I don't think I want to. I know this is morally wrong, but I'm genuinely falling for him. He tells me every day that one day it will just be us, but if he's cheating on his girlfriend of 2 years, why should I be any different? I've expressed these doubts to him, and he insists that he loves me more than he's ever loved anyone romantically. I'm not sure if I believe him, and I've considered giving him an ultimatum. If he doesn't leave her, I'll walk away. You might wonder why I haven't told her. He begged me not to, and honestly, I'm scared he'll leave me if I do, but sometimes I wish I could tell her so she can find someone better. I'm falling in love with him, but I'm also afraid of the moral consequences of this. Right now, I'm too afraid to stop seeing him and end the secret relationship. I'll update you and take any advice. Story 10. I was on a flight once and had brutal gas. I'm talking full-on stomach bubbling, paint peeling levels of gastrointestinal distress. I got up to use the lavatory after a small test release, confirmed that a crop dusting would have passengers reaching for the oxygen masks. But when I got to the lav, it was occupied, and I just couldn't hold it in any longer. I let it rip. Thankfully, it was silent. Unfortunately, it was just as toxic as I feared. A flight attendant happened to be nearby and immediately caught a whiff. She assumed the source of the biological warfare was the lavatory, so she grabbed a can of Lysol and started spraying the door down like she was trying to exorcise a demon. Right at that moment, the woman inside opened the door and walked straight into the Lysol fog. To make matters worse, a passenger seated nearby was frantically fanning the air with a magazine like her life depended on it. Everyone assumed the poor woman exiting the lab was responsible for the ungodly stench. And I let her take the fall. Story 11. There's a rational part of me that knows I'm just as mortal as anyone else. But then there's the irrational part, the one that's quietly convinced I'm immortal. I'm 46 now. That feeling had already started to take root over the years for various reasons. But in 2009, something happened that pushed it into full belief, at least temporarily. I was driving alone in my dad's BMW 318 on the highway. Not the safest car, if we're being honest, the right lane was closed for roadwork, so I was doing about 60 miles per hour in the left lane, no traffic ahead of me, clear road. On the opposite side, I saw it unfold in seconds. A car abruptly cut off an 18-wheeler. The truck driver swerved hard, slammed into the Jersey barrier, and launched into my lane. I had just enough time to hit the brakes before impact. I remember every detail of that crash like it is a movie burned into my brain, and the last thing I thought before the collision, a calm, quiet thought, okay, I'm going to survive this. Then came the hit. I went from 40 miles per hour to what felt like negative 40 in the blink of an eye. I was terrified, in shock, probably some strange out-of-body zone, but just as everything stopped, another car flying down my lane couldn't stop in time. Skid marks for about 60 feet, and then it rear-ended me at around 50 miles per hour. When the dust settled, everything was still. No pain, but no idea if I was injured or paralyzed. I was trapped inside what was left of the car, folded onto the passenger seat, chest down, barely able to breathe. My limbs were wedged into the wreckage. The anti-intrusion bar from the door had snapped and flown under my armpit, piercing the seat and locking me in even tighter. I could hear people shouting, asking if I was okay, but I couldn't speak or move. I was literally buried in the remains of the car. I heard the firefighters arrive, heard them cutting through the other vehicle first. Then I heard the helicopter land and eventually take off again. More than an hour passed before they began cutting into my car. I heard one of them say, "There's stats, nothing we can do here." That's stats when I raised my head and gasped for air. I said, I'm okay. Suddenly they moved faster. I think they assumed I was moments from dying. But when they freed my arms and legs, I got up. I stood on my own. Not a single scratch. They helped me out of the wreck, and I remember turning around and finally seeing the car. What was once a sedan now looked like a crushed smart car. All four wheels were scattered across the scene. The engine and transmission had been launched 6 feet from where the hood used to be. The paramedics couldn't believe it. They checked me over and over for injuries. I kept asking to leave. Eventually, I was taken to the ER, scanned from head to toe, and finally cleared to go. The truck driver had several broken ribs, but was stable. The driver who caused the crash, despite wearing a seatbelt, was airlifted and spent over 2 months in the hospital. I later learned that the rescuers initially assumed I hadn't made it. They'd called out to me, got no response, and moved on to the other cars first. So yeah, rationally, I know I'm human. I know one day my time will come. But that day wasn't it, and part of me, deep down, still wonders if maybe, just maybe, I'm not quite as mortal as I should be. Story 12. I don't know how to say this gently, but I'm starting to question whether my wife is a good mom. She loves our three young kids, no doubt. She provides for them and meets their needs, but she's also incredibly critical and short-tempered with them. I can't leave her alone with them for more than 15 minutes without someone ending up in tears or yelling. Meanwhile, I can spend the whole day with all three and keep things calm, orderly, and even fun without any major meltdowns. She's not physically abusive, let me be clear, but emotionally, I think she's pushing some serious boundaries. Our oldest is 4, and she talks to him like he's a grown man who should know better, about things that are just typical kid stuff. He'll mispronounce a word and get frustrated when he can't get it right after a few tries, or he'll sing the same song on repeat, or stand on the couch, or complain about dinner. Normal 4-year-old behavior. But she'll go off on him like he's being deliberately disrespectful. And he's honestly the sweetest, most well-behaved kid I've ever met. His daycare teachers love him and always tell us how kind and thoughtful he is. I can't help but worry that her outbursts are going to leave long-term emotional scars, possibly the same kind I carry from my own mom, who I barely talk to now. It's not just the 4-year-old either. She's just as impatient with our twin 2-year-olds. And while the kids can sometimes act up, more often than not, she's the one who starts with the attitude or irritation. I spend a lot of my time acting as a buffer between her and the kids because they don't have the ability to stand up for themselves the way I can. She's also not easy to deal with as a partner. She can be mean-spirited toward me too, though I usually just tough it out or push back when needed. But with the kids, it feels different. They're too young to understand why their mom seems angry all the time. She works full-time and often says she's exhausted or stressed or not feeling well. That's valid, but she doesn't need to work. I make around $150K a year, and we live in a relatively affordable part of the country. I used to gently suggest staying home with the kids, but I've stopped. Honestly, I don't think it would be good for the kids to be alone with her all day. At one point, I even liked the idea of homeschooling, but I've completely let that go too. With her temperament, and to be blunt, her lack of academic strength, I just don't think it would be fair to the kids. We don't have nearby family to help, and my wife has burned a lot of bridges. She treats my mom terribly. Yes, my mother has crossed lines before and refused to apologize properly, but the way my wife handles it feels more like cruelty than justified frustration. Even her own mother has expressed concerns about my wife to me. Story 13. I got my dangly bits pierced at 51. It was something I'd thought about since my mid-20s, but I'd never pierced anything before. Not an ear, a nose, nothing. From the outside, you'd never guess it. I work in the legal field, and in my usual khakis and button-down blue shirt, I just look like your average corporate guy. Around that time, my intimate life with my wife had really slowed down. We still did it occasionally, but she didn't seem particularly interested or engaged. A few years before I went through with the piercing, I sent her a text asking how she'd feel if I pierced my dangly bits. True to form, her response was completely neutral, total Switzerland. I think she just said, "I'm surprised you would even think of doing that." Fast forward to last year, I was talking to a tattoo artist who introduced me to his girlfriend, a professional piercer. I mentioned how I'd always been curious about getting it done but never pulled the trigger. She told me she didn't do male dangly bits piercings, but gave me the name of a colleague who did. I met the guy, we had a great conversation, and I just said, "Screw it," and I went through with it. Now the only people who know are me, my wife, my dermatologist, and a few very surprised TSA agents. Story 14. This one keeps me up at night. So I met this girl on Tinder, and after a few dates, I invited her over for dinner. I made homemade pasta, served some wine, and finished off with gooey chocolate brownies while watching a movie and getting a little handsy. Everything was going well, but then my stomach suddenly dropped, and I felt that familiar, "You have 8 seconds to make it to a bathroom" panic. Right as I step about to bolt, she stands up and says, "Just go into the bathroom real quick." I couldn't go before her. If I did, it would be a disaster. I could already feel the impending doom, so I decided to clench. She's peeing. It won't take long, right? 3 minutes later, I'm sweating, pacing, and about to lose it. Luckily, I had just bought toilet paper, so I ran outside to the laundry room, grabbed a roll, and dashed out into the rain. I barely made it in time, and let's just say it was like tar, with the smell that could have cleared a room. While I'm finishing up, I hear her inside asking, "Where are you?" So I quickly made up a story, saying I was searching for my dog in the dark who was clearly standing next to her. I played it cool. We hooked up, she left, and I was breathing a sigh of relief. Fast forward to 3 a.m. And now I have to deal with the evidence. I open the back door and my dog bolts out into the darkness and starts eating my disaster. Seriously, I had to wrestle him away, bury the evidence, and give him a bath. For a solid month, every time we snuggled, I got weirded out when he tried to lick me. Can't say I'll ever look at him the same way again. Story 15. So I was at a barbecue by the river with some friends, including my crush. Everyone was goofing around by the water, and of course, I wanted to join in. So I hopped into my swim shorts, threw on my Crocs, and made my way across the rocks, carrying a pair of underwear with me, rhymes not intended, to the river. When it came time to leave, for some unknown reason, I decided to change right there at the shore. Looking back, I have no idea why I thought that was a good idea, especially without a towel, but my brain just wasn't working. Mid-change, it hit me. Uh-oh. but by then it was too late. Of course, everyone at the party, at least five strangers, my friends and worst of all my crush, saw my dong, or at the very least, my crack. The water made everything way slower, and I couldn't pull my shorts up fast enough. As if that wasn't bad enough, two guys walked by and yelled, "Hurry up." I still vividly remember it all, and it hurts my soul every day. Story 16. When I was a teenager, I worked at a car dealership in a sketchy part of town. The dealership was a bit of a dump, and one day our only bathroom decided to give up on life. On that particular day, I had eaten something questionable for lunch, and by midday, nature was calling loudly. With no bathroom at work, I had only one choice, the liquor store down the street. I rushed in, asked the clerk if I could use the restroom, and he hit me with the classic, "No public restroom." But being the teenager I was, I tried the "Oh please sir" routine. I told him, "I just need to pee. Our bathroom's broken and we're right down the street. Please, I'll be super quick." After some deliberation, he reluctantly agreed with a warning to hurry up. I made a beeline for the bathroom, which thank God was a single stall. I barely made it in time, and what followed was a battle of epic proportions. I was sweating, clutching the sink, pants off, fighting for my life. This wasn't just a bathroom break, it was a full-on war. After what felt like forever, the storm passed, and I was victorious. I finished up, put my pants back on, and went to flush. But then the toilet started filling, and filling, and filling. Why wasn't it flushing? It was getting dangerously close to the rim. Please, no. At this point, I realized my victory wasn't over. My enemy was regrouping. The water and the contents of the toilet began creeping onto the floor. Panic set in. I backed away slowly, making sure to avoid the rising tide of disaster. And then, in a moment of pure desperation and poor decision-making, I did the unthinkable. I left. I walked out of the bathroom, walked past the clerk, and looked him dead in the eye. I simply said, "Thank you," and left the store without looking back. I've never been back to that liquor store since, and every day I feel guilty about the chaos I left behind. I truly regret what I did, but in that moment, I had no idea how to fix the situation. Sorry to that poor clerk. Wherever he is, I really didn't know what to do. Story 17. April 2008. It had been a rough year so far. My ex had left, leaving me with a house we'd bought just a year prior. I couldn't afford it on my own, so I was working two jobs just to scrape by. Then the spring thaw hit, and the basement flooded, bad enough that it made the house nearly unlivable. To top it off, the house was in the process of foreclosure because the insurance didn't cover the water damage. Things were falling apart, and I still had to attend a family Easter gathering. I woke up that morning and had to bird bath, since there was no hot water, thanks to the water heater being submerged in the basement. The furnace was underwater too. Getting out of bed that day was tough. I threw on my best everything's fine face and headed to the family get-together, where I got to be berated by my pretentious cousins and my nightmare of an aunt. After brunch, I grabbed a cup of coffee and hightailed it out of there. I started the drive back to my so-called home, that crumbling, uninhabitable mess. That's when I realized I hadn't gone to the bathroom before I left. It was only a 30-minute drive, so I figured I could make it. But as I turned onto my street, my body made it very clear that I could not. I was driving a beat-up four-cylinder S10 pickup. It wasn't exactly a speed demon, but damn if that thing didn't go 100 miles per hour down the country road. About a quarter of a mile from the house, everything went south. I full-on crapped my pants, doing 100 miles per hour. I slowed down to the speed limit and tried to keep my seat hovering as best as I could, managing the manual transmission while trying not to die of embarrassment. I waddled into the house, tears in my eyes, then took the coldest shower of my life to clean myself up. It was one of the worst days I've ever had. Story 18. I once had a fake wedding with around 200 people in attendance while secretly having an affair with a married man at work, which ultimately led to me getting fired. At the time, I was engaged to an abusive ex, but I found myself falling for a married co-worker who was also a good friend. His wife was pregnant, and the affair lasted about 8 months, with most of it happening in his office. He frequently talked about leaving his wife for me and spoke about her with disdain, portraying himself as a victim in his marriage. He didn't want the baby. I was in a very unhealthy place mentally, making poor decisions, and I even confessed that I was in love with him the night before my wedding. He was receptive to it. I thankfully never went through with marrying my abusive ex. I decided not to sign the marriage certificate, but I was pressured into having a fake wedding anyway. The affair continued after the wedding, until I was unexpectedly fired from my job. Not long after the wedding, yes, the affair partner was a higher up at the company. A few details. The baby was born healthy and would be around 3 or 4 years old now. I don't think his wife ever found out, though I did try to reach out and apologize anonymously over social media. She never saw the message. As far as I know, they're still together. He saved many NSFW photos and videos of me in a locked app on his phone, and that still haunts me. My abusive ex was aware that I was more than friends with this coworker, but he didn't realize the depth of my feelings or the escalation of the affair. The abuse had been happening long before this, and I had been faithful up until then. The ex was also cheating, though that doesn't excuse my actions, even though I was terrified for my safety after leaving him, which led to a period of stalking. It was still a mistake. Only my ex and a few close friends and family knew that the wedding was fake. There were 200 people in attendance, and the guilt from that still weighs heavily on me. I sought mental health support and realized I was manipulated by both men involved. I found a better paying work from home job, and most importantly, I now have a kind, patient, and wonderful partner who accepts me for who I am. We're both working on being better people and partners. My current partner knows about all of this and still chooses to love me. I feel incredibly lucky to have found him. Story 19. It was late at night, and I was walking home after a night out in a city I had only been living in for a few weeks. The full moon cast a calm glow over the bay in the distance, and the night was perfectly still, broken only by the rustling of leaves in the breeze. Then, out of nowhere, the tranquility was shattered by a loud rumbling noise that came from deep within. A wave of dread hit me, so I clenched my cheeks and quickened my pace, hoping to make it home in time. But a few minutes later, I realized I wasn't going to make it. It was happening, my body had reached its breaking point. Just then, like some cosmic sign, a beam of moonlight shone on some bushes by a creek, tucked behind a wall. I made a beeline for it, squatted down, and did what I had to do. Thankfully, some large leaves were nearby that I used to clean up. I tossed them into the creek, and with the immediate crisis behind me, I buttoned up. My curiosity got the best of me, so I pulled out my phone and used the flashlight to inspect the aftermath. To my horror, I saw what could only be described as a monstrous creation, lying next to some very familiar-looking leaves. It wasn't until then that I realized the full extent of what had just happened. I had just made a significant contribution to the monastery's rhubarb patch. My A had inadvertently fertilized it. The smell of rhubarb lingered with me for a while, and according to my girlfriend at the time, it even still smelled a week later. TLDR, unintentionally took a massive dump in the rhubarb patch of a monastery once, because it was coming out whether or not I wanted it to. And if I say massive, I mean massive. It's definitely among the top three biggest turds I ever laid. It was bigger than my shoes, and I have EU size 45. Story 20. I served in the army for over a decade, and admittedly I was high on weed for a good chunk of that time. One of my roles involved driving trucks, including some long-haul trips, and it wasn't unusual for me to smoke while behind the wheel. I'd be steering a 60-ton truck with a joint in my mouth. Miraculously, I never had an accident, and I never got caught because I was never tested. There were random drug tests on base, but they had to be pre-scheduled with transportation arranged in advance. If someone tested positive in a field test, their sample would be immediately sent for confirmatory testing. Since I worked in transport, I had access to the schedule and made sure I was off base whenever those tests were happening. I wasn't alone in this. At least half the guys I worked with were doing the same thing. At one point, I was even buying from my own sergeant, who in turn was getting it from a military police sergeant. When the MP sergeant got busted, I ended up introducing my sergeant to a guy I knew who could supply. This all happened about 20 years ago, long past the statute of limitations for military law. Since then, I've grown and made far better decisions for myself. Story 21. I've always had a thing for jungle imagery while doing it, and I think my childhood might have played a role in that. I grew up in a conservative Christian household. While it wasn't extreme enough to make a documentary about, it wasn't the ideal environment for open, healthy discussions about topics like physical relations. In fact, I was 17 before my parents even had a conversation with me about it, though they've since made sure to educate my younger siblings. On top of that, I didn't realize I was gay at the time, which added another layer of confusion to my evolving understanding of intimacy. Because of these influences, I was largely unaware of what certain feelings meant when they first arose. The little I did know was often clouded by shame and discomfort, and I didn't feel like I could explore or talk about it freely. Now, about the jungle, some of my favorite childhood movies included Tarzan, The Jungle Book with Jason Scott Lee, and George of the Jungle. They're all great films, sure, but they also happen to feature male leads who are often bare-chested. As a kid, I didn't think much of it, but looking back, I realized that the imagery of these films may have subtly shaped my understanding of male bodies and attraction. Over time, I've noticed that jungle-related imagery, whether it's the sounds or visuals, can trigger a response in me, ranging from mild interest to something stronger depending on the context. I'm starting to think that since those movies were one of the few places where I could safely admire a male body without feeling guilt or shame, my brain may have associated that imagery with those feelings. In a way, it seems like the jungle became a kind of Pavlovian trigger for my attraction. Story 22. I live on the West Coast, but near the end of 1998, my family took a trip to Washington, D.C. We hit all the big landmarks: the White House, the Library of Congress, the Lincoln Memorial, you name it. During the tour of what I think was the Capitol building, I was pretty young, so my memory's a bit fuzzy. Our guide got super excited. Apparently, we had a rare chance to see the office of the Speaker of the House, who at the time was Newt Gingrich. This wasn't a normal part of the tour, so there were a bunch of strict rules about how we had to behave. No touching anything, keep quiet, stay respectful. It was the actual office, and Gingrich was expected back later that day. Everyone was on their best behavior. The guide launched into a dramatic, passionate speech about the history and significance of the room, and then it happened. At first, there was just a faint smell, but it grew fast. Within seconds, the air was thick with a stench that can only be described as unholy, like someone had eaten a stew made of rotting skunk and regret, and their body had rejected it violently. It burned. It lingered. It had spice. The tour guide stopped mid-sentence. Her eyes watered. She didn't finish the speech, just told us we needed to leave. Everyone who had been so excited to be in this historic room suddenly couldn't get out fast enough. I, however, knew the culprit. It was my little brother. For about 2 years during his childhood, he went through a phase where his farts were absolutely demonic. We even took him to the doctor because we genuinely thought something was wrong with him. But nothing ever topped this particular emission. To this day, it is the worst thing I've ever smelled in my life. And the kicker? Almost exactly 2 weeks later, Newt Gingrich unexpectedly resigned as Speaker of the House. To this day, my family jokes that my brother's fart was the final straw. Story 23. I, 24M, have an intense crush on my straight best friend, 25M. I want to share something I've never told anyone before. I'm gay, and for the past 6 years, I've been in love with my best friend who happens to be straight. Honestly, calling it in love doesn't quite capture the depth of my feelings, as you'll probably understand as you read on. Both of us are part of a close-knit group of 6 friends, and over the past 9-10 years, we've become incredibly close. We're always together, whether in person or online. And our friendship means the world to me. Despite telling myself that I'm okay with being gay, the truth is, I'm not entirely at peace with it. If I could change my orientation, I think I would, even though I've accepted who I am on the surface. Growing up, I was picked on for seeming gay because I spent so much time with girls. Today, I've learned to hide it well, and most people wouldn't even guess. I've built a persona that helps me feel more comfortable, even if it means lying to others and to myself. This internal conflict is why I haven't come out to my friends. While I trust they wouldn't abandon me, I fear it might change how they see me. I worry it could make them uncomfortable or alter the way they talk around me, avoiding certain jokes or conversations they think might hurt me. Now, if you think that this looks bad already, here comes the messed up part. Although I've never had a boyfriend, I've had a few special male friends. We would exchange pictures and stuff, but because I've chosen to play it straight, things never went beyond that. I've always had a high libido, and actually, even before I and the friend were in fact friends, I used to think about him differently. Of course, nothing compared to what I'm about to write. Over the years, I've started developing feelings towards this specific friend that I mentioned, and developed this crazy obsession, and I mean it's intense, not just mentally, but physically too. On the intimate front, it all started gradually. Sometimes, while watching Korn, I'd think about him and some other friends. But as time went on, my thoughts began to focus solely on him. Well, let's just say my fantasies revolve around him, and it's now at a point where I'm pretty sure I could get awakened just from his smell. Even when using pictures of him, I always thought that doing this was fine, since I was not hurting anyone except myself for fueling these feelings that would will never be acknowledged back by him. On the other hand, I feel that I am betraying his friendship while doing this, which is exactly the thing I don't want. I value our friendship more than the other feelings I have for him. I've tried to push these thoughts away to stop myself from going down this path, but no matter what I do, they keep coming back, and believe me, I've put in the effort. Sometimes I even find myself apologizing to myself out loud after it's over, you know, post-end clarity and all that. I want to be clear, though, that I've never acted on these feelings physically. Even when we've shared space, I've always respected boundaries. I would never cross that line, especially because I value our friendship too much. It's a constant internal battle trying to preserve what we have while dealing with these intrusive thoughts. Now, onto the mental obsession. This person is always on my mind. Not a single day has gone by in years without me thinking about him. I catch myself constantly checking if he's online, wondering what he's up to when he's not. It's like I feel entitled to know everything he does. We share a lot of common interests, which probably feeds into my obsession. But if I'm being honest, I've even found myself considering or getting involved in certain things just because he was a part of them, things I'd never even think about pursuing on my own. Now, the straw that broke the camel's back, the moment that triggered this overwhelming emptiness inside me, happened about 3 weeks ago when he told me he asked a girl out. When I heard this, it felt like a knife had been plunged into my chest, like the relationship we never had just ended because he didn't feel the same way anymore. Honestly, I'm not even sure how I managed to drive home after reading that text. What hit me even harder was realizing that, deep down, I felt relief when he got rejected. Even though I always knew he was straight and looking for a girlfriend, the fact that some random girl, someone he hardly knows, had the chance I've never had felt like I was being replaced. I've been obsessed with him for years, and yet this girl got something I never would. The pain was, and still is, unbearable. But it also served as a wake-up call, pushing me to seek change. And that's why I'm writing this post. I'm determined to put an end to these thoughts I've had about him. But dealing with this mental obsession is a whole different struggle. If I distance myself from him, it would also mean distancing myself from my closest friends, which just isn't an option. I'm not sure how to break free from this intense fixation, but I'm hoping that sharing my story here might offer some guidance or support. To put it simply, this whole situation has been wreaking havoc on my life, and I'm desperate for a change. Honestly, I'm not even sure what I'm hoping to get out of posting this. I've spent hours writing this, but if anyone has gone through something similar or has advice, please share. Thank you for taking the time to read this. P.S. I want to make it clear that confessing my feelings to him is not an option. It would ruin our friendship, and it's not fair to dump this on him. Neither of us asked for this, and let's face it, I wouldn't even have the courage to do it. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.